This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Jaylen Brown discussing the series against the Knicks. Round two begins tonight at TD Garden. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Discuss a lot of Red Sox in the first hour, replacing Tristan Cassis. Why they've underachieved at 18-18 through the first month. Plus, we also mixed in some thoughts on Bill Belichick. If you want to jump in, you can at 617-779-7937. Our official series predictions are up now at Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram. Let's go through and get our predictions here on the air. Keefe, I see yours on social media. Yeah. How do you see the series shaking out?
Yeah, so I'm going back to the sweep. I thought they were going to sweep the Magic. They did not. Turns out the Magic tough. Give them credit for their toughness, but I think this is just a better matchup. You know, individually, more talent on the Knicks than the Magic, but the Knicks match up so poorly with the Celtics because their two best players on New York, Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, can both just get abused by the Celtics. You can't hide. There's two of them. And they get matched up on almost anybody on the Celtics. It's a big advantage for the C's. So it's going to be easier for the Celtics to score points in this series. You saw it all regular season long, all four matchups. In fact, three of them were blowouts. The most recent one was close, but Tatum hit a clutch shot, and they ended up winning in overtime. But no, they just have their number. This is not a team that the Knicks wanted to face at any point in the playoffs.
No, I don't think the Knicks have much of a shot.
However, you're giving them a chance.
Well, I'm giving them the greatest chance in the series. Yeah. That doesn't mean I think the Knicks are going to win.
Right.
But I have Celtics in six. And yes, the Knicks can get abused on defense. And it's a much better offensive matchup for the Celtics. I wouldn't sleep on the fact that Orlando could not score, couldn't shoot.
No.
And they were pushing you to the brink in some of these games. Now, the Celtics won in five. So maybe pushing to the brink sounds dramatic. But there was only one blowout in the series. It was the last game, and it's because Banchero was off the floor. Other than that, they played you tough. They were close in a bunch of these games. Game four was a tie game with 4 minutes to go. They won game three. I would just say if Orlando can take a game off you, the Knicks are better than Orlando. The Knicks can take two. It was a bad regular season matchup, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Orlando's been a terrible regular season matchup for the Celtics, and they won in five games. So I think you can throw some of that out. I think the Knicks offensively are going to be a big wake-up call for the Celtics because you can fall into some habits against Orlando for a team who cannot shoot, has two players, and cannot score. So I guess I'm giving the Knicks the greatest chance of anyone in the series, but I still have the Celtics winning it in six. Turpin, like you, Keefe, is going with a sweep. Billy, how'd you vote?
I went five again. I think the
Gentleman's sweep again.
I'll give the Knicks one. I have more faith in them beating the Knicks than I did the Magic, and not that I didn't have faith in them beating the Magic. I think it's an easier matchup for the Celtics. I'm taking the C's in five.
Okay. All right. Nick, you voted with Turp and Keefe.
I did. I'm predicting the sweep on this one. Now, I get that I would be beating the Knicks eight times in a row, which don't think about it too much because that seems kind of difficult. But the Knicks, they're just kind of soft.
They are
definitely
soft.
It's bizarre because...
But aren't the Celtics... Didn't we just learn the Celtics are a little soft?
They were softer to a much tougher team.
Yeah. And look, I think the Celtics are better off for playing Orlando.
Team in this series.
I think they got toughened up a little bit by playing Orlando, but they were definitely the softer of the two teams in that round.
In that series, No doubt. But then talent kind of won out. No, I think the Celtics are obviously more talented, and they might be slightly tougher, but it doesn't matter because like both teams are going to try to play a talent game, and they have more of it.
Well, they definitely do.
Yeah.
And so, look, if it just comes to You saw what the Celtics can do. When they're raining threes like they were in the second half of Game 5 against Orlando, they're tough to beat. And I don't know if the Knicks can. In fact, I don't think the Knicks can run the Celtics off the line, prevent them from shooting threes. I think the Celtics are going to get all kinds of wide open looks. But I just wouldn't sleep on New York's offense. Like, yeah, the Celtics are going to get their looks and they're going to be able to score. They gave up a game to Orlando last round, and that team cannot score. New York is head and shoulders better offensively than Orlando, although, and I want to start watching this tonight. I was in and out on their series against the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised at how awful the New York offense is to watch because they have a lot of talented players.
They do.
But it's pretty much Brunson, dribble, 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 drive to the hoop, maybe shoot, kick it out, get it right back, jack up a bad three.
Tallest guy on the floor, taking a three.
It's very, 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 very Brunson-centric, their offense.
Oh, entirely Brunson. Kind of surprising because you would think, you know, you gave up so much to get Mikal Bridges, and he's a good player. OG Anunoby's a solid player. Josh Hart's solid, but those guys are all afterthoughts. Like, it's all Jalen Brunson, and then Karl-Anthony Towns. You're going to have to rely on if the threes fall, and he'll have a couple of at least high-scoring games. I don't know how good he's going to be overall because I think they're going to be able to pick on him and things like that, but he might stuff the stat sheet a little bit because those are the guys taking all the shots. It's Brunson and Towns. I saw a text that says the Adam Silver won't let it be a sweep. I don't know if we're still buying into that. There were two sweeps in the first round, and the Lakers lost in five.
That logic had me thinking, at least, the Lakers were going to extend that opening round series against the Wolves, and they were out in five.
If LeBron and Luka had a five-game first-round series, I think we could maybe put to bed the this season's fixed.
No, I would
this agree season,
with
hey, if you want to go back to some of the other times, like, okay, fine.
Tony Brothers is going to get the call in game three.
Yeah.
It's possible.
And there's only so much fixing you could do if the teams are as lopsided as a lot of people out there believe. So you can weigh in with all your series predictions here, 617-779-7937. Just on Brunson, I said this last week, and I'll reiterate, I think he's the most clutch player in the series. He was voted the most clutch player in the league this year.
He did win the clutch award.
And he hit a big shot again. He missed a million shots in that fourth quarter of Game 6 against Detroit. But when it mattered, he also hit the biggest shot, the difference maker, that sent them to round two. I think if it's a one-possession game and it's late, Brunson's the scariest guy on the floor. How the Knicks make it a one-possession game, I have trouble getting them there enough to win a series.
Yeah.
I think maybe they can pick off a game or two, but I don't see them playing the Celtics close enough in all these games to make it a one-possession game late where Brunson can do what he does.
Well, and the best news of the weekend was that Drew Holiday removed from the injury report.
Yep.
So you get Drew Holiday out there who can match up with really any of the different guys, including Jalen Brunson, and make it a little bit more difficult for him. Derek White, you can run whoever you want at Brunson, who took, I think, 10 more shots than the next guy in the series, or at least on the Knicks in the series against the Pistons. So you know they're running their entire offense through him.
And they have different guys they can throw at him. Like, Holiday will probably get a lot of that matchup. White will get some of that matchup. I think Jalen's going to get a lot. Mm-hmm. I think his size has the potential to bother Brunson.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to throw a lot of different guys at him in this series, which is a luxury and an advantage. So you can jump in here with all your thoughts. I got some bigger picture thoughts on Celtics and Knicks, that rivalry, and how much it means to the league.
Yeah, because Brown was talking about it. I mean, I know he was asked about it, so it's sort of a leading question, but he was talking about it, and you're like, I don't know if there's rich history there.
There's not a great history there. So we can jump in on that, but I want to get to some of these phone calls. Christian's in Hull, waiting patiently on Tristan Cassis. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
Who was it that said that Cassis was going to be a 40 home run, 120 RBI guy? Was
Breslow. Breslow? Craig Breslow did.
Okay, so if he never plays a game for the Red Sox again, he will finish his career with 45 home runs and 120 RBI.
So we got it. Breslow
nailed
it. He actually
was right. That's what he meant.
Yeah, okay. That's what Breslow was saying.
Partial credit, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Do you think he's...
That's what he meant for his career with the Red Sox. Is that what he was saying?
He's a 41-10 guy. He was just counting his career totals at that point.
Parts of 4 years?
Yeah.
I said what I said.
Do you think he's effectively done in Boston?
Kind of. Yeah, I do.
Me too.
I do. Because we've never seen it even for a full season, let alone multiple seasons. It's so much projecting with Cassis. And usually we do that with, you know, the prospects or the guys that haven't played any major league games yet. He's been in the majors. I know the first year really wasn't much, but his rookie year, he had a couple of good months, and he ended the year 24 home runs. He ended up finishing third in the rookie of the year vote, and you're like, all right, sky's the limit. And then last year, played in 60 games, dealing with an injury the whole time. This year, a really slow start, similar to the slow start he got off to in 2023, but didn't have a chance to break out of it. So now you've had what's more consistent than anything else is slow starts and injuries. And you're like, I don't know. He also is one of the guys that hasn't agreed to a contract. They've signed a bunch of their young guys for the long haul. And now I don't know what they do at first base, because the pipe dream was Vlad Guerrero Jr. So that's gone. So is there somebody else that's going to play first base? How is this year's replacement going to go and factor into that? But yeah, I could see a scenario where, especially if he's not ready for the start of next year and they've moved on, then like, that's it.
Right. And did I make a mistake? I said this earlier. Alonso, I think, signed a 1-year deal with the Mets, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was a 1-year deal, yeah.
Or is it a 2-year deal? Either way, it's a
short.
Maybe
with an option or something?
It's a short-term deal. That is exactly what it is. It's a 2-year deal. Second year is a player option. So, like, I think there's a lot of different ways where Cassis could just be out of a job. And it's callous because it was such an unfortunate bang-bang nothing injury that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say just like a routine play that you see a million times in a game, you don't expect a guy to tear up his knee like he did.
And it's arbitration next year. I could see that getting messy.
But so, like, number one, let's say I don't think they're going to do this, but they piece it together with Romy Gonzalez and Abraham Toro, and they bring back Dom Smith, and it's scrap heap guys at first. They're going to be thirsty to jump in on a player like Pete Alonso in free agency next year. So that's one way it could go.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Another way is they're going to, and this is what I think they're going to do, they're going to do something drastic. They're going to move Devers to first after they told him he's a DH, which he does not want to do. They're going to move Christian Campbell like you want to first, or Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer. They're going to do something drastic. Those guys are going to be there. It's going to work. Devers is going to be able to hit at first. Campbell's going to be able to hit at first. Same thing with Meyer or Anthony. I don't know that any of them can play it defensively.
Right.
But once you do that, it's going to be tough to undo it. No, he's
like,
not.
That's another thing there.
Fair point. Yeah. So you might be upgrading even if they're not good defensively at first. So because you're doing something so drastic, I do think that effectively ends his time in Boston. You can jump in on that at 617-779-7937. I'm not saying he'll never play another game for the Red Sox, but like meaningfully looked at as the first baseman, I think that's done. As for the Celtics and the Knicks, that rivalry, Jalen's talking about it. Porzingis was asked about it as well. The atmosphere at MSG, he's like, well, you know, you could ask that the other way too. They got to play at TD Garden, which is an electric
atmosphere.
It's
two really good basketball venues.
And that,
I'll give them that.
That's going to be, just starting with this, it's going to be nice to have a series with a little bit of juice and energy in the building because Orlando just doesn't have it. It doesn't.
No.
Boston, New York, MSG, and TD Garden.
Great.
That's going to be a lot different than a nothing organization with, you know, for the most part, nameless, faceless players in Orlando. There is going to be more juice to the series, which I think is good. It may not be a competitive series. Maybe Orlando played the Celtics tougher than New York. But going into it, there's more hype around this series, which I do think is refreshing.
I mean, the fact is the Knicks-Celtics rivalry is kind of non-existent, and it's because of the Knicks. The Knicks are really a trash franchise. If you look at the history of the Knicks, they've been in the league since Jump Street. Horrible. They've won two titles. They both were in the 70s.
I was going to say, were they in a three-year span?
Or a 3 or 4 year span. They won two
Frazier
in the 70s.
And Earl Monroe.
Willis Reed. They won two titles then. They, you know, were kind of a foil. I don't even know if you'd call them a foil, but like the Patrick Ewing teams, they had some good matchups where they would lose to the Bulls, or they would play like the Pacers, or they would play the Heat, and you're like, they played football, right? It was like Charles Oakley and these guys just like trying to rough you up. Pat Riley, Jeff Van Gundy, but they were they're not very good. And so all the years the Celtics were good, they didn't have to go through the Knicks or vice versa. So there haven't been a lot of really good games between the two. The rivalry is really more based on Boston, New York than it is Celtics, Knicks.
Yeah, and I misspoke. It was 2-4 for the Knicks back in the 70s, but that's it. We referenced the Terp stat earlier this week.
Terp stat.
The last time they played in the postseason was 2013. It basically ended the Big Three era. Carmelo and Amare, who probably, even else was out, J.R. Smith. They beat Pablo Prigioni. They beat the Celtics.
Ray Felton.
In that first round and advanced to round two where they got knocked out.
Right, but
that's the last time they played in the playoffs.
Even the Carmelo Knicks, terrible, never got anywhere. They haven't been out of the first round, I think, or out of the second round since 2000.
Yeah, when's the last time they had a conference final? Exactly. Like the Camby LJ teams when they lost to the Spurs in the NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah,
did they make
another
conference final after that? Sprewell, Allen Houston, those teams? Like,
they're a bad franchise.
It is. And the last time these two teams played each other beyond the first round was 1984. It was Bird and Bernard King. Is the last time they played beyond round one.
I had that poster. It was a Converse poster, I think. It was like Bernard King said, no easy buckets. And he's like getting fouled by Bird.
I think. Nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you said this earlier. It's not the Celtics' fault. I mean, the Celtics are constantly in conference finals. They're constantly in the NBA finals winning championships. I mean, that is really more about the Knicks. So
this is not a rivalry. Pretty bad. They always kick our ass.
So, yeah,
it is one of those rivalries. But everyone
talks one-sided.
About, well, it's the Mecca and, like, New York. And, like, yeah, you have all these great players from New York, but they go play somewhere else.
Right, and a lot of guys want to show out at MSG, which I think is a real thing. And I do think if the Knicks were ever good.
Yeah.
Like championship caliber good, it would be huge for
but
the
like
city.
They always wanted LeBron, never got him. They always wanted Durant, never got him. A handful of those guys ended up going to play for Brooklyn. Now it didn't work, right? But at first it was Pierce and Garnett, and then it was that their next wave of guys because like it's still New York. But the New York Knicks, in a large part probably because of their ownership, but hasn't worked. And Jalen Brunson's definitely one of the best players they've had in a long time. And then they make the trade because Julius Randle was pretty good for him. Julius Randle was making all NBA teams. Then they make that big trade. They bring in Towns. But you look at him, you're like, all right, well, what are they? Like, they're not better than the Celtics. I don't think they're better than the Cavs. They might not be better than the Pacers. You're like, they're like an automatic playoff team right now, but with no real NBA title expectancy.
If things broke right for them in the East, it's not this year because they get the Celtics in round two. But if things broke right for them, and like you said, they had Indy or maybe even Cleveland.
Yeah, they were better off being the 4 seed than the 3 seed.
Could I see them in an Eastern Conference final, like a one-off Eastern Conference final team? Maybe.
But sure. Like the Hawks a few years ago or like the Magic a few.
That's their ceiling. That's their ceiling right now,
that's
and there's no real way out of it, which just kind of always feels like where the Knicks are. Even when they're good, they're kind of locked in with like round two Eastern Conference final at best ceiling. They're never a true championship contender.
But it's amazing because like they are such a wannabe good franchise, right? Like they so desperately want to be on that level of the Celtics and the Lakers, but they're not even close. Like there are so many players, individual players who have more titles than the Knicks.
I mean, they're not even on the level of the Bulls,
Philly,
the Spurs, Philly.
Yeah.
Like they're not on the level of any of those in terms of championships won. They're not on the level of any of those organizations.
No, they look more like an expansion team, even though they are a team that's been in it since the league started.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, look, that New York team, it does feel like a rivalry. And I'll stand by this. If the Knicks ever won or were really in the championship mix, it would be huge for the city. Like, they are a very wildly popular team in New York.
Yeah.
But they're never good.
No.
They're never contending for championships. And I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon.
They're the Clippers without having a Lakers in town. Right?
Exactly.
Like, they're just basically the Clippers. Yeah, it's a weird setup that they have. But it's... You know, we'll see what happens. I think it's the worst of all of the Boston-New York potential rivalries.
Yeah, worse than Bruins-Rangers.
Yeah.
Worse than...
Obviously, Sox-Yankees would be the top.
Pats-Jets.
Pats-Jets-Pats-Giants are more intense rivalries. Even though Pats-Jets is pretty one-sided, it's still a better rivalry than this one.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. One more text. This is a good one. We haven't mentioned this yet when talking about potential options at first base for the Red Sox. Text line says revisit Nolan Arenado and have him play first. That's a player they were linked to in the offseason. The Cardinals have been bad, right? I'm just looking that up. Cardinals are 16-19.
Yeah.
So not that much worse than the Red Sox.
Similar.
But that's a player they were looking at moving in the offseason. Is there a name like that where they've already been linked to him? Although I thought part of the logic at the time was Cassis would be one of the guys moving, right? Or no, it was, or no, no, it was Yoshida. No, it was Yoshida.
Yeah, that was.
I'm sorry, it was Yoshida. Yeah. So maybe there's a way to get that done. Chaim Bloom likes Yoshida, signed Yoshida. Maybe there's a way to get that done.
Yeah.
And you could play him at first. That's an interesting name to mix in, replacing Tristan Casas. With all your thoughts here on Jones and Keith, 617-779-7937. Let's get to a Thunderbolts review from Keith. He saw it over the weekend.
Yes.
Is this spoiler-free? Is it accurate to say it's spoiler-free?
Yeah, spoiler-free.
Okay, so maybe you're on the fence. You're thinking about seeing Thunderbolts this week. Rich Keefe has a spoiler-free review of Thunderbolts coming your way at 11:45. We'll also take a spin around the NBA playoffs. Some people are worried about the Cavs. They're already down 1-0 to the Pacers. I think there were some bad developments out west for the Celtics. Jokic advances. Steph Curry advances. So we have thoughts on all that. The toughest remaining teams left for the Celtics right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.